Okay, I know we've had a very full morning. Both those studies were just excellent. I love the Word of God, and I love hearing the Word of God, and I love being taught the Word of God especially by beautiful women who rightly divide the Word. It's just food for your soul. I don't know about you, but I could go home right now and feel like I'm full and I'm built up and raring to go. This topic today that I'm doing is on marriage. Now, if you are unmarried, please don't tune out. I realized that with this many women, not all of you are married. And sometimes it might be hard for you to hear a message on marriage if you're not married, especially if you want to be married or you've had a bad marriage or all those things. But don't tune out. Just take it and try to apply it to other relationships in your life or in different areas of your life. And please intercede for the marriages that are represented in this room. Let me ask you a question. How many of you that are married, how many of you have absolutely perfect husbands who've never caused you to be irritated or impatient or upset at all? Are there any in the room? No. Okay. Now let me ask you another question. How many of you who are married, then you're a wife, how many of you are a perfect, wonderful wife? I don't believe it. Okay, so that makes it even right there in a marriage, okay? So neither one is perfect. You know, the statistic they give today for marriages is that one out of every two ends in divorce. Is that awful? It's terrible, and I don't think that it's that different among Christians, unfortunately. Now, I realize that when we talk about marriage, that sometimes some of us can get really uncomfortable, because I know that in a room with this many women that not all of us are in a really good marriage. We're not in a great marriage. And so that can be a difficulty. Is this going to be okay, Dave, popping like that? Yeah, I'm trying. Okay. Now, I know that some of you do. You have great marriages, and they're wonderful, and they've been wonderful, or they weren't, and now they are. But I know that there are some really difficult marriages, and there might even be some women in this room who are in an abusive situation and a really, really hard place. And if you are, I hope that you have sought out counsel and prayer and support for that. But anytime anybody stands before a group of people and they open up the Word of God to instruct them on marriage, the only person that they can address is the person that is before them. In a one-on-one situation, in a counseling situation, or a one-on-one teaching, when we talk with each other and we open the Word up to give instruction or counsel on marriage, we can only address the person that we're talking to. Now, that doesn't mean that the other person involved is off the hook. It doesn't mean that the other person involved doesn't have responsibility and doesn't have commands that they are to follow. It simply means that today, because we're all women, and I'm standing before you as women, I can only address you and me and our responsibility and the commands that God has given us in His Word, whether you have a wonderful husband or you do not have a wonderful husband. It's always good to remember that marriage was a choice that you made. There maybe there might be one, but I would doubt that there would be anybody in this room who was forced into their marriage, where it was arranged or a gun was put to your head or that kind of a thing. It was a choice. We chose to marry the man that we are married to. And during that time, we made promises, we made a commitment, and we made vows. And in the state of California, you have to do that in front of a witness or witnesses. So there were people there that heard the promise, the commitment, the vows that we made, and God heard the promises and the commitment and the vow that we made. Even if we didn't know him when we got married, he still was there. He still heard. He's the one that instituted marriage. And you remember those words in that marriage vow. Now, they've changed over the years, and I'm sure in the secular world they've removed quite a few of them, but you remember that little phrase, for better, for worse. And sometimes, you know, they're just words. But they're not just words. They mean something, for better, for worse. And a lot of times you get into your marriage and you find out that this is not quite what you had in mind. He is not exactly what you had in mind. And women, men too, but we're talking to women, tend to forget the for worse part. We made a promise. We made a commitment. For better, for worse. And sometimes we just want to bail. Now, the Bible gives instruction to us for marriage, for as wives, and he gives instruction for those women who are married to unbelieving husbands or husbands that aren't walking with the Lord in 1 Peter chapter 3. So if you're one of them, jot that down if you didn't know that and study that chapter, the first verses in that chapter, because it's a great encouragement and instruction. Also, there's a wonderful woman of the Bible by the name of Abigail, who I think is a tremendous example in marriage, because Abigail was married to a fool. And Abigail, the thing I like about Abigail is that it's like, and you know, don't get me wrong, but it's like, I know I'm married to a fool, and I accept that. And I'm going to make the best of the situation. She was an incredibly wise woman who handled things very wisely. She's another one to look at. But I'm not going to address those kind of things or the marriages that are unequally yoked or that kind of a thing. And I really don't want to talk about the foolish wife, although I will mention a few things about her. The book of Proverbs is full of word pictures of that foolish woman. Some of them, for example, Proverbs 21:9, that it's better to dwell in a corner of a housetop than a house shared with a contentious woman, a foolish woman, a woman who just wants to nag and to fight. Proverbs 21:19, it's better to dwell in the wilderness. He has moved from the housetop way out to the wilderness than with a contentious and angry woman. Proverbs 27:15, a continual dripping on a very rainy day and a contentious woman are alike. The drip, drip, drip. You never, you should have. Why don't you? All of those things the foolish woman says, and it is a drip. It's an annoyance. It's an irritation. And I could really probably stand here all day long and talk about the foolish wife and all of the things that a foolish wife says and does. Just probably be here all day pulling from my own life and giving you all those examples. But I would rather not do that. I want to focus on the wise woman. Because the foolish woman, she focuses on the negative. That's what she sees when she looks at her husband, is everything that he should or shouldn't be doing and blah, blah, blah. Now, I heard a quote from Gail Irwin that I thought was great concerning marriage and those little irritations that we can have in marriage. Now, maybe your husband has never irritated you or bugged you, but I will confess I have been irritated from a time or two in 28 years of marriage. And he said, you know those little things that just bug you? Well, the Lord loves you so much that he gave you that husband so that he would bug you enough that all that stuff would come to the surface, be put at the foot of the cross, so that we could be changed. And that really put it into perspective, because you know, when people are bugging you, it's their fault, right? I mean, that's what you think. But the problem is with my heart. It's why if I'm the one getting bugged, I've got the problem. So that the foolish woman looks at all those things in her husband that bug her. But the wise woman, she looks at the good stuff. And no matter what kind of a marriage we are in, we can be a wise woman. We can be a wise wife. We can be the wise wife that builds up her marriage, no matter what kind of a husband she has. We have a responsibility. We can do our part to build our house. Now, when I think about that, and whenever I think about marriage or a marriage study, I am drawn to a certain passage of Scripture every single time because it's just my favorite, and that is in the Song of Solomon. If you turn there, please, Song of Solomon, chapter 5, Song of Solomon is, if you go Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, keep going, Song of Solomon. Okay? Now let me read through a few verses. Chapter 5, verse 9. The daughters of Jerusalem asked the Shulamite, "What is your beloved more than another beloved, O fairest among women? What is your beloved more than another beloved that you so charge us?" And the Shulamite answers and said, "Oh, my beloved is white and ruddy, chief among 10,000. His head is like the finest gold. His locks are wavy and black as a raven. His eyes are like doves by the rivers of water, washed with milk and fitly set. His cheeks are like a bed of spices, banks of scented herbs. His lips are like lilies dripping liquid myrrh. His hands are rods of gold set with beryl. His body is carved ivory inlaid with sapphires. His legs are pillars of marble set on bases of fine gold. His countenance is like Lebanon, excellent as the cedars. His mouth is most sweet. Yes, he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved, and this..." And "this is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem." Now, I have no idea what all that stuff means. All I know is that this woman was in love. She just loved her husband. And she had been bragging about him. And the daughters of Jerusalem said, "What is the big deal with this guy? What is it about him that makes him so great?" And then she told him all of those things. And that's the point I want to make today, and I will be very brief here. The wise wife, she focuses on what is positive and what is good in her husband. The wise wife looks past all the weaknesses, all the things that she wants him to do and he doesn't do, the things that he does that she doesn't want him to do, and all of that. Those things don't matter. The wise wife remembers what made her heart flutter when she met him, when she courted him, when she dated him. And the Bible tells us that we're to think on the things that are lovely and true and good and pure. And that is where our heart and our mind needs to be in our marriage. A wise woman builds her home. A wise woman builds her marriage, and we need to practice that. So will you just right now start in your mind, start thinking about the good, about all the good things that your husband does and is and was. Don't look at the negative, because we tend to go right to the negative. Remember back when your heart fluttered, when he took your breath away. Do you remember those days? I remember them very well. I remember sitting in our house and looking out the window and waiting for him. And I'm a punctual person, he is not a punctual person, so I had to wait a long time sometimes. And his car had a squeak, and we lived out in the country, and I could hear the squeak before I could see the car. And there he came. And you know, your heart begins to flutter. What do I do now when he walks in the door? I want my heart to continue to flutter. And it will if I continue to think on those good and those positive things. And for me, when I read that that section in Song of Solomon, and I choke up when I get to verse 16, this is my beloved and this is my friend. Because that's how I still feel after 28 years of marriage with my husband. He is my friend. So will you right now, we have a few minutes, and I told you this was going to be short and right to the point. A few of the ladies are going to pass out a piece of paper. If you're married, take one. And what I want you to do is just to start writing your husband what I call a big, handsome, hunk of a husband letter. And you just do what the Shulamite did. As she just said, well, let me tell you. So I'm asking you, what is your beloved like? Tell me, but don't show me the paper, but tell me what he's like. Tell him what he's like. And then take that home. And depending on your personality, you might want to just leave it somewhere that he can see it. You might want to run in the door and put it in his face. You might want to sit down and read it to him. Now, I know some of you are thinking, if I came home with a paper like that, my husband would think I flipped out. He wouldn't want me to read that. Well, you know, it'll start a conversation. It'll get you going. And if you really and truly do this and sit as you're sitting before the Lord, Lord, I can't think of one thing. The Lord will show you. And if you just listen to him and you just start writing those things down, by the time you get home, your husband will think, what happened to her? And I hope she goes to this conference every year. Be ready. Okay, so we're going to take just a few minutes and do that, but let me close in prayer first. Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit would just come upon these women. Father, for the ones who they're grieving right now and they just don't know what to do. I pray, Father, by the power of your Holy Spirit, you'd minister to their hearts. Open their eyes, Lord. Give them a promise. And Father, I just pray that as they sit before you, you would just speak and bring to remembrance and give them all those wonderful adjectives, Lord, to describe their husband. And I pray right now, Father, for those husbands that as they're home taking care of the children or watching a game or working on the car or doing whatever they're doing, that you would prepare their hearts, Lord, for the love that will be brought home today. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'll just give you a few minutes and then we'll dismiss.